org.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and Ben is back for episode B to talk, Ben Guzman, I should say, to talk about his film project, Two Guys Named Ben, that was briefly mentioned in last week's episode. If you didn't get to listen to that, go to the website, krvs.org, and look up Je Savais Pas, November 7th. So welcome back, Ben, and thank you again for making time to come discuss this. I was fascinated when I heard you talk about bikes and films and music.
Yeah, they're all a good combination of, I think, how I like to spend my life.
Yeah, I hope you made the trip when it was fall or spring, but not in the dead of winter or the heat of summer.
No, we left in the mid-September from West Virginia. So we basically got to follow fall all the way down to Louisiana.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's such a neat idea. Who had the idea? I mean, like, where did it come from? Did somebody pitch it to the two of you, or the two of you just said, you know, this would be kind of a cool adventure. Let's do it and document it.
Well, my friend Ben Townsend, who's from West Virginia, he's a fiddle player. He used to be in a band called Fox Hunt and another band, which I can't remember their names. But he's a great fiddle player, great banjo player out of West Virginia and that whole school of playing. He kind of needed to change up his world, and we often hosted him and some folks on the West Coast at our old time festival called the LA Old Time Social. And he was out there that year with, I believe, Brian Vollmer, who now lives in upstate New York, performing. And he was like, look, I'm thinking about just like riding my bicycle across the country. Like, would you want to come? And I kind of stayed away from that idea because it sounded a little bit crazy. But then the more I was doing film work, and that's what I kind of do is little bio pieces on people, arts and crafts people. I was like, well, I think we could probably make a whole bunch of great content from this trip. And I had just enough money saved up from playing music that I could go. And I took off, mid-September and met him at his house, and we just started riding.
Sweet. So what sort of planning went into making this documentary and this journey?
Well, a lot of Google Maps and Excel spreadsheets, budgeting things, distances and where we wanted to hit, and a lot of communicating with folks out in the world about when they would be near their homes or where would they be so we could plan those routes accordingly. There were a few anchor points. One was this party in Eggleston, Virginia, which is in Western Virginia, that happens every year. So we wanted to be there for that. And then we wanted to be at Black Pot. So we had to get here for that. And those were the really tight time anchors. And everything else was like, how do we travel accordingly and who's on the way?
Yeah, exactly. And was there any, I don't know, training that went into it, the fact that you were going to be both riding bikes from point A to point B?
Myself, I've been riding bikes ever since high school, really. And then as a mode of transportation in college, and then as an adult living in Portland, Oregon, riding bicycles primarily, and in Los Angeles. I started a place called the Bicycle Kitchen in Los Angeles, which is a community bicycle repair space that has kind of been mimicked around the country and the world now. So I've been involved with bicycling for a long, long time. Ben Townsend, on the other hand, needed to really up his game. He had been riding bicycles, but not to that extent. And and that trip really got him there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long did you say it took?
To get to Louisiana, it took 6 weeks, 1,600 and miles and change. We crossed the Blue Ridge three times.
Wow.
Which was crazy. And not like riding down it, like climbing up and over it. Three times, which was a lot of work. It was just gorgeous, though. And a lot of rails to trail paths, which were like 50-mile stretches of people walking or riding their bicycles down, like, the New River. There were a couple others. I'm not sure exactly where they are right now, but yeah.
So did you just kind of let each day happen as it did, or what Did you plan out, we want to ride this many miles this day and get here and then do
Yeah, there
this?
Was a mileage budget that we needed to kind of hit to keep on track. Mm-hmm. We ended up spending 3 days total outside of Athens, Georgia, in a town called Danielsville with this potter and his wife. Pat Shields is his name. And it was just so nice there. And that kind of sucked up our time that we had to pull 7 days straight to get to Black Pot in time. Yeah.
Wow. That must have been something, sitting back and going, okay, we have to go this far and we want to have to allow time for this and this and this. And I mean, imagine. So basically y'all probably camped.
We camped a lot. Yeah. We stayed with some folks a lot. Some folks on the first half camped a lot in the middle. Mm-hmm. At the end, we were just moving so fast that we crashed in some hotels or motels because we just like needed to keep moving. And really, you just had to like get off the bike, eat food, fall asleep, wake up, get on the bike, eat food.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine logistics. So did y'all have – I know I've heard of people doing this before and they have a car following them with their supplies, with food and things like that. But
for the first week, we had my business partner, Angela Wood, I'm a filmmaker in my day job. Mm-hmm. And so we documented the whole thing. And the first week she was out with us so she could get B-roll, is what we call it, of us riding by and doing things. Mm-hmm. And she had some of our gear, but we primarily carried all of it. And once she left, we were carrying all of it. So digital cameras, two sets of really nice microphones and an audio recorder, a microphone stand, mm-hmm. a couple monopods. I think I had over 70 pounds of gear on top of my bicycle.
Wow.
That I was carrying for the whole trip.
Wow.
Yeah, you just gotta like get it done, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's true. I mean, it's one of those memorable things that you probably won't ever regret.
No.
So what appealed to you about filmmaking? Videography.
I guess my job was in the film business, making commercials for big companies. Mm-hmm. On the post-production side, which I'm not much of a consumer of goods, but I've made commercials for consumer things.
Yeah.
And I had an opportunity to do a film project with a friend of mine named Matt Kinman, who was at Black Pot this year as a performer. And he's kind of a professional hobo, been playing music ever since he was a kid. And we did a series called The Back Porch of America.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also another craftsperson-focused thing where this individual who we interviewed, a chair maker in northern Tennessee, his family had been making chairs for over 100 years in the same like square mile, and if he didn't keep doing it, no one else in his family was going to keep doing it, because they'd moved on to, you know, I don't want to say city jobs, but non-chair making jobs. His name is Mark Newberry, the Newberry family. Mm-hmm. But out of that came my understanding of how to make things. Mm-hmm. From soup to nuts is how we call it in the business, but from the very beginning to the very end, where I was usually just involved in the end process, and now make the whole beginning. So I've been making film type things for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, something like that.
Yeah. So I bet, well, and I think we'd mentioned it in passing about making that journey down, the climate change, the humidity. I mean, did y'all catch any rain, and did you have contingencies if it were to rain?
It did rain. We didn't have any. There was
no backup
there was
plan.
There was no backup plan. No,
we're just gonna roll with
it. No, in Americus, Georgia, a town I didn't know existed, but that's where Jimmy Carter went to school, and also is the headquarters of Habitat for Humanity. Had no idea, but in Americus, Georgia, we caught a really bad rainstorm where you weren't supposed to be out of the house. And we rode through that just because we needed to keep moving. And it was awesome because it wasn't a cold storm. It was a very warm storm. So we just got soaking wet and just rode. And, you know, and like crossing the Blue Ridge, it was freezing up on the Blue Ridge when we were heading from Boone to Asheville. It was just like 32 degrees up on the ridge, and had to have all your warm clothes on. All your plastic clothes zipped up so you could just keep the heat in.
Mm-hmm.
But then you drop down. 15 minutes later, you drop all the way down to this valley, and it's like 80 degrees.
And you're sweat like, oh. Box central.
Yeah.
Let's get it all off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about all your gear with the rain?
Well, there's a lot of bicycling and touring, bicycle touring gear that is waterproof. Mm-hmm. So you just packed it in all the waterproof bags. Very similar to like a kayaking or rafting bag.
Yeah. Okay.
And so just pack it all in there. Yeah. And our fiddles, I bought a new case that I still use. And if it's as long as it's facing upright, the water would just pass mm-hmm. by and not get inside.
Neat.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned too how that you could hear the accent changing with the people when they talked in the different places that you stopped. And we had talked about also probably the music style too. So do you have a song that would represent where you started?
Yeah, I have one very, very specifically. Yeah. Yeah, let me grab my fiddle.
Grab that fiddle.
This one is it's called Waynesboro. But it's a specific version from West Virginia, and I picked this up from Ben Townsend traveling with him, and I think it's real great. So this will be up in West Virginia.
Okay. So I've heard, and this is on my bucket list to do one day, the Appalachian Trail, that there's people that will go and put things along the trail for hikers and to have if, I don't know if they're called trail angels or not, I'm forgetting. But did you find that same sort of helpful response from people as you were biking down that they were like people willing to help or provide or
somewhat? We knew a lot of people along the way, mm-hmm. so we didn't have too many gaps, but it was two, myself, Ben Townsend, and a friend of ours named Wolfgang mm-hmm. from Southern Ohio. And so a lot of people didn't want to take in three adult men who looked and smelled the way we did way out in the country. We didn't have any problems though.
Yeah.
Technical problems, nor, I don't want to say cultural problems.
No flat tires or blowouts.
We had some flat tires, and people learned how to do those real fast. I jinxed myself coming into Louisiana from Mississippi. I was like, man, if I can just make it two more days, I won't have had one flat tire, and 5 minutes later,
uh-oh.
Flat tire. So, but I'm pretty skilled at that. Yeah, we had a lot of just nice interactions with folks. A lot of people just thought we were totally crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, not too many people in the middle. Yeah, I know.
No.
It's interesting, the perception of people. What? You're riding a bike how far?
Yeah.
When, you know, that's how people used to get around. And before that, it was, you know, what do they call it? Your mules, the left foot and right foot.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just interesting. The more motorized we get with scooters and cars and buses and trains, the less perception we have of how people used to get around before there was all that.
Well, and also more than that, than getting around is you. I live in Los Angeles, California, car centric world.
Mm-hmm.
You forget that your fellow citizens in your town or city or state are just like you. Mm-hmm. And want to talk to people just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where slowing down on a bicycle, we did get to have some great conversations, take in the actual changing of the weather day by day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And in a car-centric world, you could, you know, I have a friend, Chris Miller, who plays in the Revelers, and he was here in the planning of Black Pot, and then he had to go play in Asheville, North Carolina. He was going to be there in less than 24 hours.
Right.
That took us a week and a half, 2 weeks to get here.
Yeah.
So we got to see the whole rest of the country in a slower way.
Mm-hmm.
The smells of the food change. Everything changes in a very slow manner. And you forget, and you realize that really we're all one nation of very, very different people.
Right.
But you get to take it in a very slow way where it's not as just like in
not
your
abrupt,
face.
Not abrupt, where you
yeah.
culture shock. You leave one place and arrive in the next place that day or soon after and have no...
And there you are.
Yeah, no adjustment.
Yeah.
Same thing as, I guess, weather shock. People travel from somewhere where it's cold and no humidity and they get here and it's hot and humid.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when I used to go visit my grandparents, they lived in Albuquerque, which, you know, high altitude and mostly desert, so there's not a lot of humidity. And it would take me a few days to get acclimated when... there was a few times we had driven, and I noticed that it didn't take as much when we drove versus when we flew to go
mm-hmm.
visit. So
mm-hmm.
it's interesting. Yeah, the things that you don't think about when you do that. So you mentioned that y'all played music on the way, too. So did you, I guess all three of you were...
Yeah, we had two fiddles and a banjo. So we would try to play as much as we could, whether it was
mm-hmm.
just on the street. Some places, I'm trying to remember the name of this town. It came up recently, just... east of Floyd, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
there's a college there, and it's the beginning of this thing called the Crooked Road in
mm-hmm.
that part of the country, which is a historical route you can take of where all these players of mountain music and traditional old-time music came from.
Interesting.
And we got taken in by this guy, Randy, I believe, and he said, well, hey, if you need a place to stay, you can play at the dining hall
mm-hmm.
of the college. And we'll feed you, and you can stay in this old German barn. And that was – it was awesome to stay there. We recorded a bunch of music in that barn because we had
mm-hmm.
our gear with us. And it was just great to, like, have that sort of experience. And then, you know, the random conversations. We were taking showers in the gym, and this guy walks out. He was the soccer coach for that college, and he's like, oh, wow, I did that ride all the way across the country right before I got married with my wife. And
yeah.
we were like, let's do this before we get married. And so – people's stories start to come out because, yeah, you're just a crazy person like them
yeah.
that tried to do these things. Yeah,
or they're finding, you know, commonality.
Exactly.
Sweet. So was there a particular song that y'all would play out and about that received, yay, we like that response, or particular favorite that y'all would go to play to get maybe people to stop and listen?
No.
No?
We would just play.
Just
like,
play?
We would just have so many things in our heads. Yeah, because we all played in separate bands,
mm-hmm.
and we would just bring things together and be like, whose turn is it now, and whose turn is it now, and whose turn is it now? Yeah, so I couldn't say that there was a highlight one, which it's bad for radio maybe. But
no, it's fine. I know you have another Cajun tune to play for us, but
I do.
Is there a song in the middle? Because kind of we had talked about how the language, the climate, you know, the altitude, the scenery, that all changes in that journey, but the music does as well.
Well, this would be a musical interlude that maybe your guests would take note of.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the trip, you know, in Louisiana, I flew home because I had to get back to work and things like that, and my budget was done. But Ben Townsend rode all the way to Los Angeles. So he left his house to my house.
Whoa.
And what we did when he got there in November, I think he arrived the day after Thanksgiving or the day of Thanksgiving in Joshua Tree, California. And he rode essentially across Texas by himself.
Wow. And I just think of that song, I saw miles and miles of Texas.
Oh, yeah, forever. But what we did is we made a record of all 13 or 16 states that he rode through, and I rode through half of those. And it's one song from every state. And that's called Deep End Sessions Volume 2, I believe, maybe Volume 3. We might have got pushed around in the lineup. And it's a great record because it's not old-time music.
Yeah.
It's not Cajun music. It's not country music. It's all of it together. Because the awesome experience he got to have right west of Lafayette outside of Houston is a big Polish community. And he hung out during Halloween with this Polish fiddler who plays for all the funerals, all the weddings, all the christenings. And they play traditional Polish music.
Wow.
So he learned Polish music from that guy.
Uh-huh.
And then he came across and like learned these New Mexican tunes. And so it's really just a great collection of American music from all the way from West Virginia all the way to Los Angeles, California. And that was really, you can find it for purchase at Questionable Records and also at deependsessions.com. But it's a great collect, it's just a great collection of music. And
sounds
all the
like
players
it.
Are from Los Angeles, which people don't think of us having a big traditional music community, but we've kind of got some heavy hitters out there.
Cool. But you have a song to play for us from that collection?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to. It's been a while since we made that record, yeah.
Dig deep.
Yeah, and this would put it there if I can just come up with it one second. It's a C tune.
Pull it up.
Well, this will be something similar to it
because
they're crossing paths right now. This is from the Troxel Brothers, and it's some sort of tune about a girl. Candy Gal. It's a version of a Candy Gal.
Candy Gal?
Yeah.
So you said it took 6 weeks for this journey.
Yes.
And then I imagine there was some talking through what footage we want to put in the documentary. How long is the documentary?
There's 16 episodes, and I just looked on the thing. It's over an hour. What is it called? 1 hour and 27 minutes of footage.
So I imagine it was kind of challenging to take 6 weeks of footage and condense it down into an hour and however many minutes.
Yeah, no, it took us, Angela and I, our company's called Small, Medium, Large. It took us well over a year to deal with it all.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big chunk of work for sure.
But I bet it was fun doing it, just kind of reliving the whole process and and the music and the interviews and
what was the best take and what's the best story. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many stories we didn't get to include, but out of that I got to meet so many more folks. Mm-hmm. One guy specifically, Bob Willoughby, who comes down to Black Pot often. He's a guitar player, piano player. He can kind of do anything. Fiddle player from Tennessee, but he's a boogie-woogie piano player is his real thing. And we got to hang out with him, and I was so impressed and taken by him, I asked him to come out for this year, 2017's Old Time Social.
Yeah.
And no one's ever really focused on him. He's usually a side man.
Right.
And I just thought, well, no, this guy's stories are so good. Like, we just got to have him out. And he not only cracked up our audience, he really just hit it out of the ballpark with them. So, yeah.
Neato. And I know, I think on the last episode we mentioned where it's available, but where do people go? Remind them where they go to watch these episodes.
Yeah, Two Guys Named Ben is all on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just put in the number 2 and Guys Named Ben, you'll find all 16 episodes there. It's also, if you have like Apple TV and things like that, it's on this thing called, what is it called? Man, I don't remember what it's called. It's been so long. But it's all on Apple TV, too, if you were to search somewhere there.
Probably could just search up the name again, right, on Apple TV.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the Roots channel. That's what it's called.
The Roots channel?
Yeah.
It's interesting. If you go another direction, sometimes it pops back into your head.
Yeah, exactly. Just like old-time tunes.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the question I wanted to ask you, and my brain's going, let's stop with the whole question and just kind of focus in on the musician and cracking up, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then right when I got done playing that tune, I was like, oh, I know an actual tune that was on that record I should have done instead.
Yeah, we're out of time for another tune.
Yeah, yeah.
So you ended up at Black Pot. Is some of the episodes feature the Black Pot Festival?
Yeah, that opened a lot of doors for myself, and because I just love playing Cajun music, so I got to start playing more Cajun music. The second to last episode is about Black Pot and mm-hmm. our arriving there, and very much about what we've been talking about the transition of the culture and the way that you talk is the way that you play the fiddle.
Yeah,
and very much about that. And we interview Blake Miller, and we mm-hmm. see a bunch of people, if anyone's familiar, sitting out in that field playing music. And I love Louisiana's idea of a fire. It's smoky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of smoky fires. And out of that, we kind of built a relationship with Black Pot Camp and Festival. So mm-hmm. I've been making a lot of videos for them of every time I come down, and it's just a blast.
Yeah, cool. Well, this begs the question, is there talk of a second journey?
There's always talk. It's we just need to make a whole bunch of money somehow. As Ben Townsend says, it's... just need to make $10,000 and I'll have it all set, you know.
Well, we appreciate you being in here today, Ben.
Thank you so much.
It's been enlightening and fun, and I'm going to have to put that on my list of things to do. Go look up Two Guys Named Ben on YouTube. Well, you've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM Lafayette Lake Charles and online at krvs.org. And you too go to YouTube or Apple TV and look up Two Guys Named Ben. Thank you and have a great afternoon.
It's a concert of Beethoven, Bruch, and Shostakovich from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. Krzysztof Orbanski conducts Beethoven's Egmont Overture and the Shostakovich Symphony No. 5. And Ray Chen makes his Heinz Hall debut with the Bruch G Minor Violin Concerto. I'm Jim Cunningham, host of Pittsburgh Symphony Radio on Public Radio International.
Monday night at 7, here on KRVS.
Ask yourself, is it possible to have jazz, hip-hop, reggae, R&B, African, Cajun, Zydeco, community topics, and more all in one show? Oui, c'est possible. Seulement sur la Franco Mix sur les jeudis à 9h dans le soir. Seulement sur KRVS 88.7 avec Drake Benoit LeBlanc. C'est formidable.
This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette,